presidential hopefuls jockeying to run against President Obama, with Paul Ryan perhaps poised to enter the fray. Adele Stand, Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief, joins us to explain why this would be good for Obama and whether the president has put the birther issue to rest. Then Chris Hedges joins us for a brief discussion. I talked to him a little while ago in Canada, where he's on his way to speak at an event, but we did manage to touch on some of the subjects in the news. Then we'll go to London to speak with Graham Smith, the campaign manager of Republic, a membership-based pressure group in England calling for the end of the monarchy. We will talk about the upcoming royal wedding and how much the outpouring of worship towards inherited privilege is popular in the UK and even more so over here, in spite of the Revolutionary War in which Americans successfully fought against the British aristocracy. Then finally, British humorist Martin Lewis joins us to give his take on the royal wedding that has so captivated the American media and will doubtless compel millions of royal watchers to get up at dawn tomorrow to watch two unexceptional young people celebrate exalted privilege, riches, and attention bestowed upon them due to an accident of birth. I'm now joined by Adele Stand, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has just published an article called KG Obama Sets an Election Trap for Paul Ryan and the Koch Brothers. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stand.
Great to be here, Ian.
And when Harley Barber dropped out recently, there was automatically or almost immediately a rumor that that Paul Ryan, famous for his recently submitted budget, will enter the fray. You're suggesting that whether or not he enters the fray, Barack Obama will run against him.
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly what Obama is doing right now anyway. As Obama has hit the speaking trail, whether at the Facebook gathering or even, you know, in his opening gambit, which was the speech 2 weeks ago that he did at George Washington University about his own budget. I mean, Paul Ryan is the face with which he wants to paint the Republican Party for any number of reasons, not least of them, of course, being the wildly unpopular plan put forward by Ryan to change Medicare into a voucher system. But also because of Ryan's ties to the Koch brothers, and I think that, you know, that plays that sends a signal to Obama's base.
So there is some confusion, however, with polls citing, as you have in your article, citing the ABC News Washington Post poll that found 72% of Americans support tax hikes for the wealthy, even with a majority of Republicans in agreement. And then we have the latest CBS New York Times poll showing 75% disapproval of Congress and 57% disapproval of the way Obama is handling the economy. What caught my attention, I thought it's very troubling for the president and his party, is that 55% of the respondents would prefer fewer services from smaller government, and an astonishing but slight majority would support Congressman Ryan's plan to replace Medicare with vouchers for the elderly to purchase medical service on the private market. So what's going on there? Is that about how questions...
Well, those results are, you know, there's also two other polls that were done at the same time that have wildly different results, and that is in a McClatchy poll, which I believe saw 76% opposed to the Ryan plan to cut Medicare, and a ABC News, Washington Post poll, which found similar numbers. And I, as it's been explained to me, and I am not an expert in polling, the difference between the New York Times CBS News poll and those other two polls are the way the questions were set up in the CBS News New York Times poll, which was that the Medicare question and the services question was set up with several questions before it that assumed a need for those cuts, that assumed a need for cuts in order to, you know, keep the government from, you know, financial disaster. So it had to do with the methodology of the survey questions. But I think you're seeing in these town hall meetings around the country and a general sense among the general public. I mean, even an earlier New York Times poll from April of, I believe it was 2009, of Tea Party supporters. Even Tea Party supporters, 62% of Tea Party supporters in that poll said that Social Security was worth paying for. So I think that the recent New York Times poll is more of an outlier. I'm not as troubled by it as you may be, and you know, perhaps I should be, but I'm not at the moment.
Well, the assumption is that he's touching the third rail. And I suppose the fact that he was booed, Congressman Ryan, at a recent town hall meeting in his home district, as was the new African-American Tea Party congressman down in Florida, as was Daniel Webster, who replaced the Democratic firebrand there in Orlando. Yeah. Is this spontaneous rebukes from the constituents, or are there a few Democratic operatives in the crowd?
Well, I mean, I think at this point everything is politicized. Now, I don't have any hard information that there's, you know, any kind of truly organized effort, but I think at the local level, at the very least, there is some. And, you know, Think Progress has managed to be on the ground in these places, and that's a Washington, D.C. think tank. So I think that there's a general sense among different people that something needs to be done. And I also don't think it's very highly coordinated, because if you look at the way in which the event that Paul Ryan suffered through his booing at was, you know, much more deftly handled by the progressives in the crowd than, say, the event at which one of the protesters was arrested at the Allen West event in Florida. So I think it's more locally driven, but that's just a guess. I have not done reporting on this yet, and so I kind of...
Well, there has been talk, though, that a number of Republicans felt that Ryan coming out with his budget was going to make life miserable for them in the recess when they went back home.
So. Yes, exactly. And I do think that Obama played this hand very deftly by enticing Paul Ryan to go first. And I think that Paul Ryan, who has been nursing this quote-unquote roadmap plan for several years now, just couldn't wait, you know, to unveil it. He's very proud of his baby. And I do believe that Obama played this very well. And that he has chosen, you know, that he knew once he had it. I mean, he issued a broadside against Ryan after inviting Ryan, you know, to come to his speech at George Washington University as his guest, seats the guy down, and then you know, proceeds to really issue a broadside against the Ryan plan, which, you know, I'm not convinced that the timing of the unveiling of the birth certificate isn't all of a piece with this sort of Obama on the offensive.
Well, he certainly, Obama, as you point out, when he was talking to a CBS reporter when the mic was allegedly off, which is one of those accidents you find hard to believe actually happened, he went on to talk about Ryan as saying, this is the same guy that voted for two wars that were unpaid for, voted for the Bush tax cuts that were unpaid for, voted for the prescription drug bill that cost as much as my health care bill but wasn't paid for. So it's not on the level. And we're going to keep on, you know, keep on shining
a light.
Shining a light
on that.
Yeah, so that does sound like he's tipping his hand as far as an election strategy. Now, how much do you think, Adele Stan, that you can tie Ryan to? I believe the Kochs are his political benefactors there in Wisconsin. He received from the Wisconsin chapter of Americans for Prosperity, which is chaired by David Koch, he received the Defender of the American Dream Award in a ceremony emceed by Scott Walker, who is now deeply unpopular, the governor of Wisconsin.
Governor. And at that time, Walker was really one of the favorites of Americans for Prosperity as the Milwaukee County Commissioner. So Walker has been quite nurtured by them for quite a long time. Now, Ryan has been in the Congress, despite his youth, for quite a while now. So it's not, I don't think it's fair to say that, you know, he got there simply because of his alliance with the Kochs. But the Kochs have embraced him, touted him as one of their, you know, one of their favorite politicians. I was recently, in January, the very day that the new Congress was sworn in, I went to a briefing by Tim Phillips, the president of Americans for Prosperity, just before he went over to join David Koch for the swearing-in. And he was, you know, he was talking about Paul Ryan very laudably and said he was the guy with the toughest job in Congress as the new budget chairman. So, I mean, Paul Ryan's political fortunes, and certainly I think his positioning on the budget committee, you know, it was certainly influenced by the fact that he is a favorite of David Koch.
Again, I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who is the alternate Washington Bureau chief. She has an article in Alternet, KG Obama sets an election trap for Paul Ryan and the Koch brothers, and we're talking about whether or not President in 2012 is planning on running against Paul Ryan and whether or not the Republicans will nominate him, or at least he will enter the race, which is being rumored at the moment, of course.
Yeah, I actually kind of doubt that he will.
Right. Well, it's he'd be joining a pantheon of midgets, wouldn't he? With Donald Trump, and I mean, some of them are border from the mechanical moron to the mad women. You know,
it is quite a lineup.
It's quite a lineup, but even in spite of this, though, my sense is that this there's still a possibility in this country with this malaise. And if you don't, you know, you don't have to believe that CBS Washington, the CBS New York Times poll. But my fear is that if the Republicans weren't floundering around with these midgets and could find another Ronald Reagan, the country's ripe for that kind of sunny message, don't you think?
Well, I do think in a stormy times, that is, you know, that's a natural thing for people to want. And ironically, of course, in 2008, it was Obama who was thought to be sort of the Democratic version of that, because he can be quite brilliant as an orator. Unfortunately, he hasn't always brought that sensibility to his role as president. He tends to get very wonky and down in the weeds. Yes, I do think it's one of those times that are just very unstable and very unsteady, and you have a very polarized electorate with a swath of sort of, you know, swing voters in the center. And so anything can really happen. Now, it is traditionally very difficult to unseat an incumbent president. I mean, something I think pretty horrible would have to happen, especially given the field that the Republicans have out there right now. Huckabee is still making noise about getting in. Now, if he could get through the primary process, and ironically, he does not have the support of the poobahs and the religious right, were that to change, you know, he could be formidable.
Well, but just in closing, though, Adele Stan, it seems, though, that the political debate with all of this nonsense about the birthers that Obama was actually forced to acknowledge utter insanity by even addressing it, but that shows you how the bar has been lowered. And it seems to me that so much of our political debate is being driven by, you know, crazy billionaires who are kind of Ayn Rand fundamentalists. And it turns out that the fellow we're talking about, Paul Ryan, makes it compulsory for all of his staff to read Ayn Rand's Fountainhead. I mean, this is, it's bad enough having the chairman of the Fed a devotee of Ayn Rand, and we know the damage that he did. But don't you wonder whether the country's lost its mind?
Oh, Ian, I don't know.
I mean, aren't there, I mean, how does this bizarre fundamentalism, economic fundamentalism from this obscure figure capture the nation's, not imagination, but at least debate? I mean, the press is all talking about deficits.
You know, it's a confluence of dynamics, and that is that, you know, first of all, it has a great deal to do with, you know, a very boring topic, which is our campaign finance system. So when you have Democrats are not really well positioned to take on, because they're bought into certain, you know, aspects of the corporate and financial institutions.
Well, Obama spent last night up in New York on Wall Street.
That's right.
Shaking down money from Wall Street. I mean,
that's right. So it's very difficult to, you know, you don't have a strong institutional opposition to these kinds of forces when everybody is bought into the theology, if you will, of a quote unquote free enterprise system, which is, you know, not free. I mean, it's really about just accruing more power to those who already have it. And, you know, that's the same thing with the libertarianism of people like Ron Paul. Everybody thinks he's this cute little peacenik, you know. But the truth is, his interpretation of the Constitution as wholly libertarian really just accrues power to white males who own property, you know. So this strain has always existed in American culture.
Well, I guess we'll have to defer that conversation to the combination of plutocrats, libertarians, and know-nothings for another day. I thank you for joining us in Los Angeles, Adele Stan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, I was speaking with Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief.